Yesterday, the church in New Carlisle had an all-day lectureship that focused on elders, and I was invited to take part in that and spoke on the specific subject of the work of elders, and I want to share some of those thoughts that I presented yesterday. I want to share them with us this afternoon. There are a handful here who were there during that lectureship yesterday who have already heard this material, so if someone's sleeping through this, you may want to let them sleep. No. No, those who were there yesterday, it wouldn't hurt for them to hear it again. So I hope you have your Bible out. We are going to be studying from 1 Peter chapter 5 primarily, but I want to look at a couple of other passages before we focus our attention on 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. We're going to show in just a moment that a bishop is an elder, and the Bible makes it very clear that elders have a work to do. The position of an elder is not a figurehead position. It's not just a title to be put on one's resume. The Bible says that it is a work. And oftentimes, whenever congregations appoint elders, they spend an awful lot of time talking about the qualifications set forth here in this passage and also in Titus chapter 1, and rightly so. But comparatively speaking, there's very little time spent talking about the work that elders do and what should be expected from these men who serve as elders and what these men are desiring to do. Remember, the first qualification is a desire to do the work. And in order to desire the work, they need to understand what that work is. The Bible isn't silent on that subject. The Bible sets it out for us very plainly. Good leadership is lacking in a lot of churches today. I don't believe that's the case here at Norwood. I've been here long enough to see the leadership here, to see the church here as a whole. And there are other places that Christy and I have been where we have been very thankful for the good leadership that exists there, but we've been members of congregations where there wasn't good leadership, even with elders in place. There wasn't good leadership. So just because a congregation has elders doesn't mean that they have the kind of leadership that God wants the local church to have. And by the way, I'll throw this in for free. There is something worse than the church not having any elders, and that is when a church has bad elders or unscriptural elders. A congregation needs to know the work of the elders, and elders need to know and understand what their work is. In many places, good leadership is lacking because there are not a plurality of men who qualify to serve as elders. We understand that. There are a lot of churches that don't have elders, would love to have them, but there aren't men who are qualified. But there are some churches that have men appointed to serve as elders, but they don't know what to do. They are not following what the Scriptures have to say. They're not understanding and fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given unto elders. And we're going to try to understand what that is as we go through our study this afternoon. I believe as we look at the scriptural designations that we have for one who is an elder, we can get some kind of an understanding of the basic work that God wants these men to do. There are six English words that are used in your Bible, depending on your translation, that refer to the office or the work of an elder. And these six words are translated from primarily three different Greek words. The first two we'll look at is the word elder and the word presbyter. It appears in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 of the King James and the New American Standard Version as presbytery. But these two words are translated from the Greek word presbyteros. And perhaps you can see the word for the Presbyterian church in this Greek word presbyteros. This word refers to one's age and one's maturity and one's spiritual experience. That is the maturity that they have gotten through age as they have lived. So these two words, an elder or a presbyter, and yes, you can refer to Mike or John as the presbyter if you want to. That's a scriptural designation. It is referring primarily to their age, to their experience, to their maturity, to their wisdom. Two more words would be the word bishop and the word overseer. These words are translated from the Greek word episkopos and another word related to it. And perhaps you can see in this Greek term the word episcopal, or the Episcopalian church today, comes from this word. Although the organization of the Episcopal Church is absolutely nothing like the pattern set forth for leadership in the New Testament. Oh, the word bishop appears in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 that we read just a moment ago. The word overseer appears in, it appeared in 1 Peter, chapter 5, and it appears also in Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at these verses as we continue our study this afternoon. These terms refer to one who is a superintendent, one who manages. The word bishop really doesn't convey into our language what this word episcopos is, but the word overseer does a very good job of doing that. It would be a manager. It would be a superintendent. It would be a steward. And involved in this word, get this, involved in this word is the idea of one who is managing something that actually belongs to someone else. That's exactly what a steward is. A steward is the manager of someone else's affairs. So they oversee that, they manage that, but it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to someone else, and they actually have to give an answer to the owner for the how they have managed or how they have overseen that owner's property. Then the third Greek term that gives us our last two English words would be the word pastor, comes from this, and the word shepherd comes from this. Pastor is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and again we'll look at these verses in just a moment. And the word shepherd, and the King James Version, it is the word feed, and it's actually a verb, but the New American Standard Version and the New King James Version uses the word shepherd in our text in 1 Peter chapter 5 and also in Acts chapter 20 and at verse 28. I've included here in 1 Peter chapter 5, down at verse 4, Peter talks about the chief shepherd. And the chief shepherd there is this particular Greek word. Poimen is the Greek word, but the chief shepherd has the prefix to it, arch. And arch would signify someone who has hierarchy or someone who is above, as in an archbishop. Well, this is the arch shepherd. That's, of course, talking about Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. The elders are the shepherds that labor under his authority. These words refer simply to a shepherd, or one who tends sheep as a shepherd does. You combine these three Greek terms together, or these six English terms together, and it helps us to formulate an idea of what an elder is. These terms tell us that an elder is responsible for overseeing the affairs of the local church and tending to the church as a shepherd does his flock. And elders are to do so with wisdom that is gained from maturity and experience. So just looking at the terms themselves tells us something, gives us an idea of the work that elders are to do. Why is leadership, good leadership, lacking in the local church today, or in local churches today? I believe it's because these men who are appointed to serve as elders and the congregation that appoints them to serve oftentimes are following the wrong model that church leadership is patterned after. An elder is a shepherd. And we talked this morning about what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does. We don't live in an agricultural society much anymore. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, we're not familiar with the ins and outs, the everyday affairs, and the life of a shepherd, or someone who takes care of sheep. Most people in the Lord's church today who are appointed to the position of elder, the only concept of leadership that they have is in the workplace. They go to the workplace, they work under a manager, under a foreman, under a boss. Perhaps as they climb the corporate ladder, they themselves become managers, they become bosses, they become executives. And so many people, that's really the only pattern for leadership that they have. And so when these individuals are appointed to serve as elders, they don't know the first thing about shepherding. They know how to boss. They know how to manage. They know how to be administrators. But they don't know the first thing about shepherding. And the local church suffers as a result. And to make matters worse, sometimes church members look upon individuals who are successful in business. They say, you know what? He can lead a business. Surely he can lead the church. Let's appoint him. Let's appoint him because he's proven to be a successful businessman. That might sound good. That might be good wisdom from a worldly point of view. But you know, the Bible tells us that the workplace is not the proving ground for an elder. You want to know what the proving ground is for an elder, where he proves himself? Here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Don't look at how he conducts himself in the business world. You want to look anywhere, look at his home. Look at his marriage. Look at how he's done raising his children. That's the proving ground for an elder. Not out in the workplace. There they have administrators. They have administrators. And an administrator is one who administers, one who has considerable executive ability. And to administer is to manage or direct, to give out or dispense, to tell people what to do. To delegate, 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 give jobs to other people, and make sure that they do those jobs right. That's the business model. But that's not the model that the Lord gives us in the local church. The local church is called the flock, not the company. It's called the flock. And the flock has to be shepherded, not managed, not executive over. It has to be shepherded. So let's take a look at elders as spiritual leaders. Let's turn our attention to our text in 1 Peter at chapter 5. And in this text, I find three things that Peter, who is an elder, by the way, in verse 1, three things that Peter tells elders that they need to do in the local church. First, they are to shepherd or feed the flock. If you look here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and at verse 2, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." I want to pause right here. We're going to kind of step aside. I want to make a point, and then we're going to come back to shepherding. When I had up that list of three different Greek terms and six different English terms that corresponded with them, you know good and well that in the religious world today, our denominational neighbors have grabbed these different terms and they've pulled them out and they've used them to apply to different individuals. Well, you've got some churches that have bishops and they have elders and they have different individuals holding these different titles, but they're different individuals. You might have one church where you've got the pastor and you've got the bishops. Now, the Bible teaches that all six of these terms, all three of the Greek terms, apply to the same office, to the same group of individuals. How do you know that? Well, in our text right here, all three are used to refer to one. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, to the elders. There's the word presbyteros. Verse 2, shepherd or feed the flock. That's poimen. That third Greek word, serving as overseers, episkopos. There's all three terms referring to the same individual. So, that's kind of an aside, and I think that will help us sometimes, perhaps when we're talking with people out in the religious world. Oh yeah, we've got bishops. Oh yeah, we've got elders. Yes, we've got pastors. And they're talking about different individuals. And the Bible speaks of them as one individual. The shepherds are to feed the flock. We made mention of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, and at verse 28, this instruction is given to the elders of the church there in Ephesus. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Paul tells the elders of Ephesus, shepherd the church. Peter tells the elders who are recipients of his epistle, shepherd the church. And so elders, if they're going to, men are going to become elders and do the work of elders, they better know what it means to shepherd the church. Because that's what their primary responsibility is. That's the model that elders are supposed to follow. That shepherd taking care of that flock. A shepherd, as we saw this morning, is responsible for leading the flock and for providing for the safety and well-being of each sheep. Psalm 23 showed us that the good shepherd, David's shepherd, led him, protected him, and fed him. And that's exactly what elders are supposed to do to the local church. They are to lead them, they are to protect them, and they are to feed them. Well, specifically, what are some specifics? What are some practical applications of this instruction to shepherd or feed the church? How do elders do this? Well, number one, elders do this by making sure that the saints are equipped. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 says, "And he himself," that is Christ, "he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors," that would be an elder, "some pastors and teachers." So God has given the local church these individuals who are going to fill these roles. And we know the time that Paul wrote this, there were apostles and there were prophets. Those no longer exist. That age is gone. But we still got evangelists and pastors and teachers. What are they for? Well, we're looking at elders, we're looking at pastors. What are they for? Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Elders have the task of making sure that every member of the local church is built up spiritually. And this is done by feeding them spiritual food, by making sure that they are fed the Word of God. To read on, "till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but rather speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." What's the picture here? This picture here is of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and the elders are responsible for making sure that that happens across the board. That every member is being fed spiritual food in a way that causes them to grow spiritually, and thus each member contributes to the local church. Elders have to make sure that the truth is being taught, and it's being taught in a way that the members can understand and can make application and change their lives when necessary. This is done by making sure that good sermons are preached in the pulpit. Elders have the right and the responsibility to make sure that the preacher is preaching the truth, and that he's preaching it effectively, and that he's preaching on things that need to be talked about in order to equip the church. We're going to look in just a moment. The elders have responsibility to watch out for the flock. And sometimes there are dangers that pop up in the religious world or in the brotherhood in the form of false doctrine that the members of the local church need to know about. They need to be warned about these things. They need to be taught what the truth says. They need to be taught how to reject these false doctrines. And so it's appropriate for Brother Mike and John to pull me inside and say, "Heath, you need to preach on this. We need a sermon on this subject. We need to arm the congregation about this error." Or it's entirely appropriate for the elders here to tell me, "Heath, you sit down. We've got it today." And for them to get up in the pulpit and to preach. Why? Because they're responsible for making sure that we are fed spiritually. The Bible classes that are taught, both out here in the auditorium, as well as all the classes that are taught in the classrooms down this hallway, the elders need to know who's teaching these classes. They need to know who's in these classes. They need to know what's being taught in these classes. Why? Because that's when some feeding is being done. That's when young souls are learning about the Lord. And the elders need to have their hands on the pulse of what's happening back in those classrooms. They need to know. The men who are brought in to hold gospel meetings, the elders need to make sure that they're good men, that they're upright men, and that they're going to bring the truth, that they're not going to bring in some kind of shady doctrine, that these are not men that have bad reputations attached to them and some questions about their motives. They need to make sure that when we have a gospel meeting, we've got men who are going to stand before us and feed us the Word of God. The elders are responsible for that, accountable for that. Home Bible studies that take place. If elders see that members need some extra teaching, yes, they have the right to go and set up studies with those individuals and talk with those members to give men opportunities to grow and women opportunities to grow teaching in the various classes. The elders have this responsibility to make sure that the saints are equipped. How? By providing get-togethers? No. By making sure that the Word of God is taught. The elders, as shepherds, have that responsibility. Shepherding the flock also includes watching out for the flock. And I want to look at Acts chapter 20, and then I want to look at Hebrews at chapter 13. Back to Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul again was speaking with elders, told them in verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." Notice, first of all, elders are going to have to take a watch. They're going to have to look out among themselves as an eldership. They're going to have to watch and they're going to make sure that they are walking in the truth and that they are not harboring unscriptural attitudes or practices or doctrines that are going to seep out into the congregation. So elders watch first off, they watch among themselves. And then Paul says, "I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Elders have to be on the alert to dangers that are coming both from without and also from within. Elders have to be vigilant in their efforts to protect the church because Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says that elders are going to have to give an account to God for the souls that are under their charge. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, an instruction to us as members of the local church, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Now that's our responsibility. The elders have those, and that's right, Heath. You let them have it. You let them know what their responsibility is. Right here is ours. To obey them and to submit to them. But I don't like the decision that they made. Is it unscriptural? No, I just don't like it. You submit to it. You obey them. Why? Because they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The harder you make it for the elders to do their job, the less you're going to get out of it. The less benefit you and I are going to receive. So we obey. We make it easy on them. Why? Because they're watching out for our souls. They're going to have to give an account for us and what they have done as elders. I don't read anywhere in the Bible. You know, elders can be criticized for a lot of things, and I've heard it, and you have as well. And I don't mean here. I mean places that I've been. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where an elder's going to have to give an account for what color carpet was put in the building. Or who it was that was contacted and contracted with to put a new roof on the building. But they're going to have to give an account for my faithfulness and for yours. They're going to have to watch. They have to watch out not only for dangers coming from without, but they have to watch us and make sure we don't go astray. And that's a job that a shepherd has. That's a job that the elders here have. Elders, if they are shepherds, they have a responsibility to admonish and to warn the unruly. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't take my word for these. Turn and look at these passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about elders. Yes, the instructions that follow would apply to all of us as Christians. No one's going to debate that. But we're talking about some instructions that are given specifically to elders. And here they are. They labor among us. They are over us in the Lord. And what did they do? Finally here in verse 12, they admonish you. What does that word admonish mean? I looked it up in the English dictionary. And the following words that I'm going to give are words that came from the dictionary that define the word admonish. It is the responsibility of the elders to caution, reprove, urge, exhort, inform, and remind the members as they see that corrections are necessary. And when these efforts fail, the elders are to warn those who are unruly of the consequences of their behavior, verse 14. And when the warnings fail, the elders have a responsibility to mark and to withdraw from those who walk disorderly. This responsibility belongs to the elders. They are the shepherds. And what this passage means is that elders have every right to come to us and to ask us about our spiritual lives. And when elders see that we're missing services, when elders hear that we're using language we're not supposed to use, when elders get on Facebook and see that we have proudly presented our involvement in sinful behavior, they have every right and an obligation from Christ to come to us and talk to us about it. It is their business. And we'll say, oh no, you're meddling. That's none of your business. It is their business to come to us because they're going to have to answer for it. Now the element of free will is involved. And if we decide to wander off, we do that, but not without their every effort to bring us back into the fold. They have that right, but let me tell you something. When elders do this, when elders admonish and warn and mark and withdraw, they had better be consistent when they do it. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and at verse 21, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Let me tell you what happens to an eldership's effectiveness when they admonish and they warn and they mark and they withdraw from a member for committing sins while they ignore their own family for doing the same or worse. That eldership's effectiveness is gone. They're not going to be effective in their leadership. And I've seen it happen. I've seen an eldership be rendered ineffective because they showed partiality in warning and admonishing and marking and withdrawing. It's something that has to be done, and it has to be done with consistency. It's not easy being an elder. You sure you desire that work? What else falls under the heading of shepherding? Well, elders have to stop the mouths of those who are teaching error. In the book of Titus chapter 1, we have a combination here of a qualification and a work or a responsibility. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Elders are to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Holding fast. You get a hold of it and you hang on to it. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped when it's necessary. An elder has to have the ability and the desire to wield the sword of the Spirit in such a way to silence error. And it might be error that is being taught generally in the congregation, maybe error that's being taught in the brotherhood, and they want to take care of it before it ever shows up here at Knollwood. Or it may be if someone gets in this pulpit and starts teaching error. The elders have a responsibility to correct it. Error that is taught in the pulpit and goes uncorrected by the elders is sanctioned error. And the elders are going to have to give account for it. It's entirely appropriate for elders, after something has been taught that is not right, for elders in the very assembly to pull the preacher aside and say, "Did you mean to say this? Because you said it. Do you want the opportunity to correct it, or are we going to have to do it?" And either send the man back up to correct it, or to come up and to correct the error. And elders have every right to stop a preacher from preaching in the middle of his sermon if they deem it necessary, in order to stop the mouth of those who are teaching error. That's the extent of their authority that they have, their responsibility. They must, as shepherds, protect the flock at every cost. And one more thing about elders being shepherds. If we're following the model of the shepherds in the Bible, elders have to be available to the members. In James chapter 5 and verse 14, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him do what? Call for the elders." And the elders are to come and to pray and to lay their hands on him, anoint him with oil. Elders must make themselves available to the members of the congregation. Remember what David said about his shepherd. In Psalm 23 and at verse 5, David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." You know, that wasn't done by the shepherd filling up a canister full of oil and pumping it full of pressure and spraying down the sheep from afar. That was done by the shepherd taking every sheep and handling them personally. And elders have to be able to do that. Elders have to have the desire and the time and the ability to spend time with each and every one of us, and to take care of our needs in a personal way. The executive model of leadership is, my office hours are on Tuesday from 2 to 5. And you can come see me then, or you can set up an appointment with my secretary. I labored with a congregation for a short period of time, and let me tell you, it wasn't short enough. But I labored with a congregation for a short period of time where the elders set up 1 hour every Sunday afternoon, an hour before worship services, that they met in a classroom downstairs in the basement. And if any member needed them, they knew where and when they could find them. And you know how many people came? Not very many. In the meantime, I was instructed as the evangelist, I needed to go out and visit all the members in their home. I needed to go out as the evangelist and get to know them and visit them. What were they doing? They were having me do their job. And you know what they were doing? There was one elder there, every time I saw him at the church building, and he lived right next door, and he was at the church building about every day when I was studying, he had a hammer in his hand. He had his toolbox. He was doing deacon work. And they wanted me to do their job. And you know what the deacons were doing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was no leadership in that congregation. I got my family out of there as quick as I could. That's not leadership. That's not shepherding. Let me say it that way. That's not the leadership God wants for His church. That's not shepherding. In Luke chapter 2 and at verse 8, when we read there about the birth of Christ, what does Luke say about the shepherds? Where were they at? You know, Luke chapter 2 and at verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks." You know what shepherds smell like? Shepherds smell like sheep, because they're with the sheep so often. elders need to have their hand on the pulse of the congregation. They need to know what's going on with every member of the congregation. And that's a tall order. That's a tough task. But I don't know how else you shepherd. I don't know how else you shepherd than to be with the sheep and know what's going on with the sheep. The congregation here at Knollwood is close. And I think for the most part, we make it easy for the elders to get to know us. We spend time together in our assemblies. We spend time together after our assemblies are over. We get together as groups every once in a while. Just yesterday, had an opportunity for some to do that. That's needed, but even more than that is needed. For the elders here to get to know us, to stay connected with us, to give us that personal attention that shepherds give unto their sheep. They must be available. So elders have to shepherd. They have to learn how to shepherd the flock. We're going to go through these next two quickly. No need to applaud. The next point that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 5 is that elders are to oversee the flock. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. And the same instruction is given in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Remember what that overseer was, that episkopos was. Remember, he was a superintendent. He was a manager. And what that tells us is that elders are given the charge by God. Elders are responsible for what happens in the local church. Ultimately, they are the ones who are responsible for it. Remember, Harry Truman had that placard on his desk in the Oval Office, "The buck stops here." And that's the way elders ought to be about the local church. The elder should be the last one in the congregation to say, "Somebody else." Now, the elders ultimately are responsible for what happens. They're responsible for making sure the worship services are conducted in decent, orderly manner, making sure that holy men are chosen to lead us in our worship. Good Bible class teachers are teaching the truth in the Bible classes. They're ultimately responsible for all of these things. An elder, by virtue of the fact that he is an overseer, is going to have to be involved in some administrative type of duties. But their primary purpose has to remain focused on the spiritual welfare of the members of the local church. And to help them better fulfill their roles as shepherds and spiritual superintendents, the Bible calls upon elders to appoint men as deacons, to delegate the physical responsibilities that are involved in the work of the local church to men who will serve as deacons. We read of the first appointment of deacons in Acts chapter 6. And I know some brethren contend with that the word deacon isn't found here in the English. I know it's not in the English, but it's all over these passages in the Greek, in the original language. They are servants, and these men are chosen to serve. I want you to see in the context of this study why these men were chosen to serve, why they needed to be appointed to serve. Remember, there arose a complaint that the Greek widows were being overlooked. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, it wasn't that serving tables was unimportant, because it was. But it's not what the spiritual leaders of the local church were supposed to be spending their time doing. They were to labor in the Word. They were to give themselves to prayer and to the study of the Word and the spread of the Word. Same thing is true with the elders of this congregation. We've already seen they have a spiritual responsibility to watch over the congregation. The things that are of a physical nature need to be delegated to the deacons. And the deacons need to be given authority to take care of those matters without having to come every other day and double check and make sure it's all right to do this or to do that or to do that. Elders, when elders are doing their work and deacons are doing their work, the evangelist can do his work, the members can do their work, and just watch the church grow. Watch it grow. Elders are overseers, but that doesn't mean that they can't delegate the physical responsibilities to the deacons. And then finally, this passage in verse 3 tells elders that they are to be examples. Elders do not lead the local church with an ironclad fist of authority. As a matter of fact, it says they're not to lord it over the flock, but they are to be examples. Remember, shepherds lead. They don't drive. They get up and they lead. They lead by their example. Now, that doesn't mean that elders don't have authority. Because there have been some in the church who've looked there at 1 Peter chapter 5 and said, see, the only authority, the only leadership that the elders do is leading by example. And that's as wrong as can be. Because we've already read passages that talked about the elders who have the rule over us. And that we're to submit to them and we're to obey them. But you know, they're going to be a lot more effective in leading if they're out there leading with the right example. And that's exactly what elders are supposed to do. This word example in the Greek refers to a physical impression or a mark, something that can be seen. One commentator has said of this example, the point is that elders are to be molds or patterns after which the brethren can fashion themselves in service to God. They lead by pattern of conduct, showing what brethren should be and do, not as tyrants or masters who lead by command or direction of mouth. Remember, elders have qualifications. And the qualifications that are set forth for elders indicate that elders have to be men of character. Men that can be followed. Men that we can look to learn how to be a husband and how to be a father and how to be a businessman and how to be a worker and how to be a neighbor. Elders lead by example. That's a tall order. And they're not perfect. I don't know of any perfect elders because I don't know of any perfect men. And you know what? Perhaps one of the most effective ways that elders can lead is in the way that they handle their sins and their failures and showing us how we are to handle our sins and our failures. The elders are to be examples and are to lead by example. This is one of the reasons they are to take heed to themselves. Elders are examples. Elders are our spiritual leaders. And in order for the local church to operate the way that God intends for it to operate, we've got to go to the right model of leadership. And it's not out there in the business world. I know John Maxwell's written a lot of good books on leadership. I read one of them and now started reading the other one and realized it was just a regurgitation of the first one. That's what happens to a lot of these popular authors. Let me tell you where book you can go to learn church leadership. And that's his book right here. Instead of reading after these authors out in the world, let's read after the Apostle Paul. Let's read after Peter. Hey, let's read after David when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then told us what a shepherd does. And if we're going to be shepherds, young men, if you're going to be shepherds of the Lord's church one day, learn what a shepherd does. You'll learn how to lead the way God wants you to lead. What are elders to do? They are to shepherd or feed the flock. They are to take the oversight, and they are to be an example. Indeed, if anyone desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work, and it is work. We need to thank God for our elders in our prayers. And we need to do everything that we can to help them with their job. While we're at it, let's thank God for our deacons, for their good families, as well as the families of the elders, and all those who are taking part in the work and the worship of the church here at Norwood. Brethren, we're growing. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. I think we can see it. We're growing. We're doing what is right. It's when you're doing what is right that you can expect something to come from our enemy, from Satan. Let's make sure our leadership is intact and leading the way that God would have them to. Then it's going to be a little harder to shake us from the truth. I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate John as well. If there are any here who need to respond to the invitation, I know this sermon really isn't designed to solicit a response to the gospel call, but perhaps there's someone here this afternoon who needs to become a Christian, needs to confess their faith in Christ and repent of their sins and be baptized we'd be glad, we'd be honored to witness that and to help you take care of that. As a Christian, maybe you realize you've sinned against the elders, and thus you've sinned against God and sinned against the church, and you need to make things right. Well, make them right with the elders. If you need to make it right publicly, we'd be glad to help you as well. If you need our prayers, whatever your need is, let it be known by coming as together we stand and sing this song.